Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I am very excited. A man that I've had on a couple times. He's written a great book about the deep state that, yes, in fact, does exist. And now you all know that. He is back to talk about what is going on now, what he's seeing on the landscape. And I'm honored to welcome back retired Colonel John Mills is with us. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Oh, Mel, it's always an honor to be on your show. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for being here. You wrote a book. I had you on when the book first came out, and you're reading through the book, and you're actually in D.C. You've been for decades on the front lines. You know all the players, and you just said, you know what? I got to do what I got to do. I got to lay this out, tell the American people what's going on, what has happened to the government, why we're watching what appears to be a full capture of the D.C. swamp. And you went ahead and did that, and then months later, almost everything in your book has turned out to be exactly what was going to happen. So where are you now? And what are your thoughts on the landscape we are facing at the moment?
Well, thank you so much, Mel. Yeah, the first book came out, The Nation Will Follow, me being inside the coup against candidate and then President Trump and me outing them. Now we have, remember, the Durham report came out, five follow-on investigations. Three of the five seemed to be some of the names I gave by the reading of it. But also we got Charles McGonigal, the FBI director of counterintelligence, the New York field office. He was the guy feeding us in early 2016, all the Trump, Russia, Russia, Russia.
Right.
And it was funny. I was flying to Taiwan to cover the elections in January, and I was in the lounge and I heard this voice behind me and I'm going, oh my. And I turned around and it was the senior FBI official that was taking McGonigal's reports and giving them to us in our interagency meetings. And I walked up to him and he didn't recognize me, at first, but then after I talked to him, I said, yeah, good seeing you. What are you up to? So then he recognized me, but that was, and then the book two is War Against the Deep State, the foundation of the, thank you. So Mel, oh yeah. Foundations of Mass Surveillance, which 702, we wrote that in 2008, sounded like a good idea. And it's been totally abused. What they do now is collect everything,
right,
and then they mask out and back out American citizens, supposedly. It's just too many opportunities for failure. We need to go back to individual warrants. But yeah, thank you, Mel. I think we're in a full blown lawfare inside of America. And they just announced the indictments against the Arizona folks. They got a conveyor belt. They got another 10 on the assembly line coming out because they are doing everything to stop the return of Trump and MAGA. But at the same time, I think we're very close to full blown war with China. So other than that, everything's going great.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny when the 702 debate was going down, I thought of your first book because what I saw it as is anyone voting for that is going to be voting for Crossfire Hurricane 2.0. Because I'm watching this and they're even though it's already extended, now they're telling you and they expanded it. So everyone that they got away with scooping in the Crossfire Hurricane 1.0, now they can even get more people. And then we also have the RFK Jr. factor. And it appears to me that with the 702, first of all, the lie that was coming out of the intelligence, I guess who protects that whole thing is the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. It seems like they're the spokespeople for everything surveillance these days. And what they kept saying was kind of like, well, this isn't about American citizens. This is about foreigners. And I kept thinking, well, foreigners don't have constitutional rights. The warrant would have to be for an American citizen. What is he talking about? And like, and even like Crenshaw, all these people obviously in on, you know, mass surveillance state where no, this has nothing to do with Americans. And you and I both know that it absolutely does. And then again, Trump's campaign at this point, they're in the background. I think that you've explained this too in the past. All they really have to say is that somebody is a national security risk or a threat to national security. And basically, they can open a file on anyone and start down the path of, like you said, they've collected everything. Now let's go look through what we missed or how we can misconstrue it. So to me, it's really opening it up to them telling us, okay, last time we surveilled the entire Trump campaign and all that, but this time we're going to do it and we're going to do it bigger. That's what I thought.
Yeah. This is how they got like Papandopoulos.
Right.
Carter Page. This is how they got him. Is this routine of unmasking or looking at the raw data? What they're looking at is raw data before it gets purged, supposedly unmasked of American citizens, and it just there's too many opportunities for eyes to see this before the masking, and then next thing you know, they're walking down the walking down to use the bathroom in the ops 8A at Fort Meade, and going, do you know who I saw on the list?
Right,
and so it's just too many opportunities. It's wrong, and what they do is I've seen this. This is how we got the original 702 in 2008 was you bring the HPSI and CISI members in and their staffers, you give them a briefing, and capabilities just exponentially grew every year starting with 2007. So that means, you know, you're at this level, you're double the level in 2008, you're double that level in 2009, you're double that level in 2010. And they, you come in and show them, just ask me a question. What do you want? Oh, let's give me something like this. You know, you turn around, here it is, everything. Right. And it just blows their minds. They say, I love it. I want it. I love it. I like it. I want more of it. And then they just, you know, they give away the farm. So Johnson should have done the right thing, said, no, we're going back to individual warrants and petitions to the FISA courts.
Right.
Hopefully we did not give away the election.
Yeah, I mean, and people have to understand that this is, and I say this to people that are voting for RFK Jr. as well. I say, what do you think? This isn't going to be used on him and his entire campaign. They already did this. And now they're telling us not only are they going to do it, but the other part of the 702 that they just passed was a huge expansion to anywhere that has routers, anywhere that has, and basically in there also that the NSA can make people, whether they like it or not, that have places like, say, a WeWork type place or something like that, or office building, or, you know, even a conference center, become spies as well. And then they're gagged. So this is just another road down that. And I want to mention to you, because you were involved back then, but the inspector general back when in 2000, I guess, 20, Horowitz was looking at this. And he said that there were 3.4 million search queries into the NSA database between December 1st, 2020 and November 30th, 2021. And over 30% were illegal, like basically, you know, they were illegal searches without, you know, any cause. So what you're saying is so important, because he also stated that over 10,000 federal employees had access to that database. 10,000. That's a lot. That's a lot. So the whole story that they were telling the American people, they had to have known. The IG report basically laid it out, that this is being abused regularly against American citizens. Not just, it's bad enough against campaign and a sitting president for years, but this is everyone. This is me and you. This is everyone that does what I do, certainly. So to me, it's very scary. How can we possibly unravel this mess? Because I look at it and I see the intelligence community post 9/11 with all the new agencies and all the new powers, not really working at all under the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for the people. They seem to be working for someone else. And that's not, it's very scary.
Well, I mean, this is, and I'm just going, I did a Substack on this and I did the slides. It was also in Gateway Pundit. I did the slides from the DNI website that talks about the process. I'm just using their public facing slides. And it says the ISP, the internet service providers, are compelled. That's a legal term, meaning they have no choice but to hand over everything. Right. That is very scary. It says right on their own slides, right on the DNI website, ISPs are compelled, meaning they have no choice. They have to handle over. That means That what that means is the U.S. government sits on the pipes and sees everything, and then they take everything and then they go, oh, well, we're going to mask this then, we're going to mask that. But that's a process that takes time. And yeah, how many times? And what was it at the IRS? I think it was you had somebody who came in as a support contractor solely to weasel their way into a position so they could see Trump's tax return and leak it.
Yes.
I think he was convicted and might be doing some jail time, but he'll be taken care of. This is the willful nature of the nanny staters. They'll send people in just to take these jobs solely. And you identify that 30% unlawful. This is MBA 101. What do they always teach you in an MBA course? 5% is your quality control rate. Okay. You never want to exceed 5%. We had a 30% error rate. I mean, this is worse than Detroit on a Monday morning here. So this is totally wrong. Totally wrong.
Yeah. And now the other thing that struck me when I was looking into this a little deeper is the NSA has relationships with all of the Five Eyes nations agencies, their counterparts. And what I was deciphering, especially, you know, you and I both knew about it, you've talked about it, written about it, but before Crossfire Hurricane was launched, it came out again. If the New York Times, we'll get into it in a minute, New York Times keeps putting out information, and you and I both know if they're putting it out, the intelligence community wants them to. But recently they allowed an article by Tabibi and Schellenberger and all these people to reiterate that Crossfire Hurricane, prior to that, Brennan had the Five Eyes nations bumping 26 people, including Donald Trump and some people in his campaign, but also Ben Carson, other people around the world, to create the illusion that they had relationships with. I mean, it's all in the documents. It's like out there. And then the New York Times puts it out kind of being like, hey, I feel like they keep being like, hey, we're doing this just so you know. And then that's like what they're doing. But they can spy on anyone by asking the Five Eyes partners to do it if they can't do it, right?
Well, it's called the Five Eyes end around method, which has always been a acknowledged process. If it's collected by a Five Eyes partner and it's of interest, because like at the different watch centers and watch floors, you always have, usually a brown badge, which is an international partner that's allowed to be on the floor. And it's really in the Five Eyes, it's only the five English speaking. We do have Five Eyes Plus, which has several other countries. I'm not going to mention which ones. But that is, it's been traditional that we've had this where your UK liaison walks up to the center table in the watch floor and says, hey, you might find this interesting, and leaves the paper on the table. Now it became a street theater inside the watch center where the Brit LNO would wait until nobody was looking, walk up to the table, leave some stacks of paper and walk away. And the U.S. watch floor senior for the watch period walks over, goes, ooh, what's this? Who dropped this off? And wow, this is it. Wow, this is so cool. I wonder where this came from. It's almost like a contrived street theater. I mean, and I say it jokingly, but anybody who's been there knows what I'm talking about and has seen it happen. It's absolutely intentional. And that was the other thing, because in early 2016, it was two sources that were all of a sudden interagency meetings. It was the FBI director of counterintelligence in the New York field office and the Five Eyes. And that was always, these two sources, Trump, the Russians are sure interested in Trump. Oh, wow. And it was all contrived, and it was all, Crossfire Hurricane set up and Fusion GPS by the Clinton campaign.
Right.
And the IC was in on it.
Yeah, 100%. And let me ask you, because I've been looking and I had on Papadopoulos and Kash Patel as well. And we were talking about that. Then Barr, puts Weissman, really, in my opinion, as we can still see, I call Eisen and Weissman the wily coyotes to Trump's roadrunner in the lawfare. I mean, they're everywhere. There's lawfare. These two guys seem to be at the top of it. And again, I believe that they thoroughly were involved in all kinds of nefarious activities from 2015 to this day. So, they have a lot to lose, too, to continue the lawfare. But when you look into this and you really start to think about this, you think, Well, what was Weissman looking into if we now know that the entire Crossfire Hurricane was a setup? I mean, they're putting it out there. So the whole Weissman Mueller years and report that came up with nothing, also nothing. And then Barr puts in Durham, who, if I'm, I might be misunderstanding, but it appears that Durham couldn't even look inside the government. He couldn't look at people in the DOJ or FBI. I believe that he could only look outside the government. So both the Weissman investigation trying to find Russia collusion and the Durham investigation trying to find what happened outside DNC, John Podesta, all that. Nobody ever looked inside the intelligence community or the FBI.
In my interaction with the Durham investigation, Durham's not going to do anything. Now that McGonigal was because, although that was a decision by Merrick Garland. Oh, we're going to separate that out. That has nothing to do with Durham. Oh yeah. It had everything to do with Durham. Okay. This guy was dirty. It was just disgusting. Initially when he was charged, it was like after he retired, he started receiving money and not having a FARA, Foreign Agent Registration Act. No. As time went on, now it's no. While he was in office on the government, U.S. government payroll, he was also being paid by the Russians.
Right,
so,
exactly.
But Durham, there was a lot of Durham pushed this out. And, you know, totally debunked the Russia story, even though some people like Eisen obviously didn't read the report, because he said it was absolutely a total. I mean, Durham is a bulldog. And he also, again, at five criminal referrals, three of them by their description, I go, wow, that sounds like some of the names I gave to the Durham investigation.
Right. So, well, it looks like he was hamstrung. It looks like he was only allowed to do so much was the point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it was chaos in his office. He had senior DOJ lawyers quitting on him because they didn't want to look into this and didn't want to look into this fraud. And he says, no, we're doing it. If you don't like it, get out. And we're doing it. So, God bless him for getting out what he did, because Garland, tried to smother and spike it and pulled out the McGonigal situation. No, we're not going to connect that. We're going to call that separately. No. It was, you bet it was.
Yeah, I talked to these two guys, NYPD officers after 9/11 that got pulled into the counterterrorism task force. And they talk about this a lot. But that guy, McGonigal, he was involved all the way back to that Flight 800 and then 9/11 and then everything that happened along the way. You can find his name involved in many, many things that have happened, that there are questions that were never answered, and like the next one and the next one. So it's not a surprise. And when I look at what he was charged with and now I guess is serving time for, it's so little, which brings me to yesterday there. There's a one of the Lawfare people that also, is back there, which is very scary. You know, I went to Brookings website. You know, they've been involved in everything. And of course, they get foreign money from Qatar and other places. They have an entire Get Trump basically page that obviously Eisen and Weissman have like their memos there of suggestions on how to go about all the cases. But this other guy, Dreeben, I guess that's how you pronounce his name, yesterday is arguing that Donald Trump doesn't deserve immunity. And at one point, I think it was Justice Thomas asked, like, well, you know, why him, but why not all the presidents before him? And this guy actually says, well, none of them committed crimes. I'm thinking,
oh,
like,
really?
Total disdain for the American people. And all I kept thinking was, we're living in 1984, where the people that are arguing in front of the Supreme Court have rewritten history so much so that they just expect us to accept it and say it out loud. I mean, you know about intelligence operation and cognitive warfare. To me, this is the ultimate. You're saying that all this stuff under Obama, we know about all this stuff, even Iraq, all this stuff with Bush, all this stuff with Clinton. He's still out there. Nobody's ever questioned him about anything, let alone the Epstein connections. And this guy's in front of the Supreme Court arguing that Trump doesn't deserve immunity, saying that no other presidents ever committed any crimes that would be chargeable.
Yeah. Well, Eisen is just a total deranged fiend. I mean, he is just, he wrote his I think it was his memo on handling of classified, his executive order. And he goes, this is the document that shows that Donald Trump, I don't think he bothered to actually read his own document. Because I was actually, he was actually working at when I was first at the Obama White House on the cyber review. And if you actually read his executive order, it actually reinforces Donald J. Trump's position. It actually, you know, clearly, unequivocally states the commander in chief is the ultimate arbitrator of all classified matters and can classify and declassify at a breath, and it is classified or declassified. There is no higher authority. And so his supposed handling of classified information executive order exonerates Trump. He just hasn't even bothered to read his own executive order.
It's crazy. And then I think, you know, people remember, but I just want to remind people that Donald Trump on his way out of office, actually on January 20th of 2021, he wrote a memo basically declassifying everything having to do with Crossfire Hurricane. It's the Privacy Act review of certain declassified materials related to the FBI's Crossfire Hurricane investigation, and did that right on his way out the door. And there's many people out there that speculate the entire, you know, Mar-a-Lago raid. Things are coming out in fast. Julie Kelly's been covering it all over the place, too. And so we're at a place where it does also believe that it seems again, yet again, that this is also a cover-up operation for all the people that you outed in your first book to continue down this path of doing whatever it takes to make sure they're never held accountable. Because I feel like they're tearing apart the justice system, the legal system, not just to keep power in that party, but really to keep themselves from ever being held accountable. And yet they have the microphone of intelligence television, MSNBC. My Weissman has a show on there. It is so ludicrous. And then they go on CNN, and then obviously, but I mean, he declassified all this stuff under his purview, and they know it.
We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkayshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now.
Well, yeah, and it also shows the weaponization of obscure entities such as the Census Bureau or the National Archives, the National Librarian. The real villain in this has been the failure. It's the job of the National Archives to go and box up everything, and they did not do that on January 20th. So that is their job. They failed to do that job. It was willful, and right. The National Archivist, which is a political appointee position, but it's one of those that it's more than just for the term of a president. It can actually transcend administrations. But it's like clearly the weaponization of the National Archives. They were totally in on it. And so the National Librarian was not just shushing everybody at the National Archives. You know, they were also failing to show up, willfully failing to show up. They were one of the chief villains, the National Librarian.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally crazy. And what it looks like you just said, the most important thing there is willful. I don't think anything that these people have done since Obama went into office to this day hasn't been willful. I mean, they have all these architects, and these are like, I call it the poison Ivy League. I can't help it. And look at what happened. I've been saying that for 3 years, and look at where we are. But these people, many of them from Harvard Law, or some of them Yale Law, but all those people, they're like in a functioning fifth column that is above our gut. The Lawfare crew, which they don't even hide the Lawfare crew, but the Lawfare crew is out there because another one, Mary McCord, was on MSNBC about 3 weeks ago, and she said that they were preparing open. They They were preparing for anything Trump might do should he get in 2024, and making sure that they were had all their legal and ability to make sure they could block anything he would do when he came in. And she says this on national television to the whole world, that he's such a threat that her team, which must be like the Transition Integrity Project, the Lawfare crew, that whole same crew that you've identified as well, but openly says that we're not going to let him, even if he wins, we're not going to let him do anything. We're going to lawfare it before. So that, I mean, this is so crazy. It's like the will of the people voting for him. Well, even if you guys win, we're still not going to allow you to have what you want for this country. It's way bigger than Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny. I've seen two Obama officials that I used to work with. One of them's now been appointed as I'm not going to say their position, but just got appointed as a senior person in the Biden team. One I saw passing through the airport security line, and the other one I was invited to an embassy function in D.C. at a good trusted partner's embassy. And boy, they both came up to me, but it was like when Seinfeld would see Newman, you know, in the sign, hello, oh, wow. Newman, you know, it's like, hey. Hello, John, we see you've written a couple of books. And it's like, hello, I'm not even going to say it. Looks like you've been part of the coup there. And
exactly.
So.
How does that go down? Because people have to understand the reason that I recommend your books is because there's a lot of people that write books, very few people who've been there, and very few people who are willing to do that, because, you know, it does appear that, you know, did you see Tucker Carlson when he the other day was saying that he believes that a lot of politicians, a lot of people in Washington fear this intelligence community, this post 9/11, like, massive community that kind of can capture anyone, and they can spy basically on anyone claiming national security risk or domestic terror risk. But these people, you would think that there'd be a lot more of you out there, you know, why aren't there? Is this because people are scared?
I think it's a combination of being scared, but I mean, there's nothing to be scared about. Most of these people are very unimpressive. And they're not that smart. And if you know what you're doing, they'll try to play some games. The biggest thing is, oh my gosh, I can't remember who the Clinton appointee who created the wall of separation between, law enforcement and the intelligence community. Her name is escaping me right now. So that was one of the findings of the 9/11 commission, you know, this wall of separation, right. We got to tear down this wall. Well, now we went from a wall of separation to them becoming one in the same.
Right. Yeah.
And the oldest trick in the book is if somebody from the IC doesn't like you, is they'll figure out and they'll do a criminal referral on you to DOJ and the FBI for, you know, like one of the, you know, common things is, if you're not officially sanctioned to run an intel operation, and they've done this against standing intelligence community officials that were running intel. There was somebody, I'm not going to mention their name, who had to go through, they were in the Army, and they were saying they were running an intelligence operation. Well, it's actually a formal process to designate a named operation. And the CIA just went back guano crazy, and they didn't like it, so they turned in a criminal referral to the FBI. And the guy was I don't know if he had any prison time, but you know, he was, what did they didn't like the competition. They didn't like the competition. It's as simple as that. So there is some fear of it, but there's also the chumminess of the promise of when you retire or when you leave government, you'll get on all these boards, you know, and all these, you'll get on all these think tanks. And I've clearly, you know, I'm with Center for Security Policy. I worked at another think tank for a while, but clearly it's a chumminess that, you know, you're not going to get invited in. So it's kind of both. But it's, you know, at one time in 2014, quick story. This is how I met Steve Bannon for the first time. Was I wrote an article. I was in government, and it was whatever happened to the front company. And it was going over the CIA history of creating front companies, an art form that was really done away with the church hearings of 1973. But this was 2014 during the Obama days. And I was officially approved and okayed to write this article. It was published. And two things happened is one, a CIA lawyer friend of mine, she called me up. She goes, John, what are you up to? You need to come over and tell me everything you're up to. Okay, I ain't up to anything. You got nothing on me. But, you know, a good friend of mine, and I think they were a trusted person, but they, you know, they immediately, John, what are you up to? We can do that. That's only Langley can do that. What are you trying to do over there at DOD? And then another friend of mine says, you gotta go meet this guy named Steve Bannon and talk about it. Who's Steve Bannon? I don't know who Steve Bannon is. So we go meet Steve Bannon in the Capitol Hill house. And he comes, this is a great article. We're going to do this. I go, do what? We're going to do what?
Yeah.
What you say in your article? I go, Mr. Bannon, I'm actually still in government service. I'm not going to do it, whatever that means.
Right. Right. I know. But that's the part. But the good thing about you, and I know you've sacrificed a lot. I mean, people have to realize that the bravery that you've shown in, obviously you have no fear on that level, but honestly, you've sacrificed a lot. People should know that. The people that are trying to save this country for real and tell the American people what's really going on. We're in 1984 Orwell right now, and the good guys are the persecuted, and the bad guys are the ones that are distracting everyone by any means necessary. And now we have the ridiculous one after another Trump persecutions. And I think that one thing that's getting left out of this whole conversation, other than that the people that are running, really running the Trump lawfare above, I call them the fifth column. They're the same people all that have been doing it for 8 years, as far as I can see. But they don't really seem to care how we look to the rest of the world. And I'm looking around and I read articles from all over the world. I've kind of over the last 4 years found people I think are, you know, as close to the truth as they can get. And what is happening to Donald Trump is really diminishing our credibility all over the world. Mm-hmm. And this is a big deal, because now not only have they already, with the sanctions and all they've done with the financial system, really alienated America, but right now the rest of the world is looking at Donald Trump and these cases, and they know that these cases are bogus. So they're now saying, like, our authority to ever again basically go into a foreign country, which I don't think we should do anyway, and say, we're going to make sure that you have the right leaders and your human rights, is being destroyed. Our ability to help ever again in any other country, as we show ourselves to be exactly what we pretend to go in and to save democracy in foreign nations, is being destroyed here. And these people don't care.
Yeah. It's the problem with this administration is, I mean, they don't have a known starting point of a moral foundation. So they just do whatever they want to do. They don't believe in God. They don't believe, they don't have a known moral starting point. And so they're very smarmy and dishonest. And in international relations, the other partners, trusted or not, will peg one immediately if you come across as smarmy and untrustworthy. And that's, you know, Jake Sullivan. Oh my goodness. Ugh. I mean, nobody trusts that guy. Our own, nobody in the US government, even in the administration, trusts him. He's a total weasel. Same with Antony Blinken.
Right.
Nobody trusts them. And that's dangerous. Dangerous.
Yes, you know, and it's foreign nations saying this. Even the president of Mexico came out and said they're putting their political rival on trial. Of course, Putin and Xi have commented, but people have to realize all over the world, they're looking at what's going on here and thinking America's completely lost credibility. That's very dangerous for our future.
Yeah, it is. It's like when there was an attack going to go down in Moscow. I looked it up. It's Intel Community Directive 191, duty to warn. It's actually a legal obligation that we are supposed to inform if there's an imminent attack,
right,
killing, kidnapping to go on. And all I can picture is Jake Sullivan talking to his counterpart in Russia. I mean, Jake Sullivan is a total weasel and snake. So it's coming from somebody that nobody trusts. You're talking to the Russians who are totally bat guano crazy paranoid anyway. I mean, what's going to happen in this situation? I think we actually, honestly, but it's the same things going on now. You got FBI Director Wray, Jen Easterly at DHS CISA, General Howe at NSA bouncing off the walls over imminent Chinese attack because of all the malware they're placing. And that traces to Intel Community 191, duty to warn. And nobody's paying attention to them. Why? Because they have very low credibility ratings.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I hope the American people understand the stakes for 2024, because that's where I want to go before I let you go is, okay, let's talk about this. Because I keep saying to people two things. You know, Trump always says they're not after me. They're after you and I'm in the way. And I pay attention to the globalist organizations and follow the money a lot. And what I keep saying is they're not after America. They're after the world, and America is in the way. And to me, that's, I really see, because when they, I talk a lot about the Agenda 2030 goals, and this guy, I call it like Pan Am in the Hunger Games, is like what they see where they'll be, and we'll all be in like wards controlled by technology and stuff. It's totally insane and unbelievable. But when you do look into the documents coming out of the Biden White House, and I'm talking about, there was a document in September of 2023, renewed goal commitment to global goals, finishing what Obama started, Agenda 2030, 2015, we're halfway there. We will finish it by 2030, basically, if you vote for Biden Harris. And then it goes through all the 17 development goals that people don't even realize what they are. And basically, trillions of dollars of our money that they're going to put into having that. Then you see they have this, they just had this thing come out, the global health thing. Everyone's worried about the World Health Organization. Biden's administration puts out something that looks as bad, if not worse, and it's global. And then they're putting out a global plan for biodiversity, global, out of DC. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying, okay, Donald Trump, we actually throw some sand in the gears of this massive global plan that I believe the public-private partnership that I think runs our company all the way up to Fink and all them, they're invested in the post-America plan, it just seems. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this has to do with Donald Trump messing up their financial futures and their consolidation of all wealth in their hands. And then the other side is, we will not have borders, language, culture, constitution, bill of rights, any of that as we know it going forward, if this globalist agenda that is Biden Harris are not hiding. So to me, it's like the choice is, do you want to remain America as a founded, or are you ready to become a cog in a globalist wheel and very, very possibly either China or the entire parent company of planet Earth makes us into Venezuela. So what do you see for 2024? Because I don't think it's about Trump or Biden as much as it's about what each individual citizen wants for the future.
Well, yeah, this is why Biden is losing the Black and Latino vote. The greatest demographic harmed by open borders is the young Black male. Those other demographics that are hurt by open borders, actually the Latino community, they don't want open borders. And they're looking at the Biden administration, whose number one job is to get rid of gas powered vehicles. And they're looking at them like, we're hurting. The rise in food prices, inflation, violence, the fentanyl. I don't know. I mean, but he's out there making sure, you know, men can use can go to the bathroom next to little girls, and getting rid of electric gas powered vehicles. So this is insanity. So they're looking at Biden team, they're totally disconnected from reality, but it's just this utopian future. They don't care. They're going to make sure everybody's equally miserable. Why? Because these people are just too stupid to understand the good things that we're doing. And, you know, we're just going to have to do it and just bulldoze them, because they're in the way and they just don't get it.
And you see what a lot of, because this goes back to your background, you see a lot of what they're talking about is like, I did a show on this. It's out of the UN and World Economic Forum, but Gates is funding it with a lot of other oligarchs from America, this digital public infrastructure, which I guess if you trace it and you look at some of the executive orders out of the Biden White House, and you look also at the some of the technology that's in the infrastructure bill, also in the Green New Deal bill, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act and some of this other stuff. It does appear, because I know the global goals really well from just tracing them and what it's about and this global digital wallet that has interoperability around the world. It does appear, though, that the American people will have to walk willingly into agreeing to have some kind of digital ID that puts us on some kind of blockchain or technology like they have in China, of course, created by some of the oligarchs that are behind the scenes here. And without the American people participating, they can't pull it off. So to me, I feel like it's very important that the American people and certainly the Trump campaign and people that have voices out there like you really stresses that if they ever achieve that goal, and not just the central bank digital currency is just one piece of it, but if you really do look in all the biometric data collection, all the stuff that they're talking about, the extension of the 702 being part of this as well, if they get you into a digital gulag where then we have something like China, where you're walking down the street, you have a number on your head, you got a social credit score, they know your health records and this, and they have all the, you don't get out of that. Like, I feel like that's why I say, I feel like the American people being awake enough to not participate will not just save America. It will actually save freedom worldwide.
Yeah, it's, they love digital because you can control on scale. So right. Globalists love digital. They love the word scale because this way they can do everything on scale. They can have a digital currency so they can know everything, control everything. But then they don't want that when it comes to, they don't want digital currency when it comes to opportunities to launder, such as gambling at casinos, such as legal cannabis, such as abortion operations, massage parlors, things like that. Because right. then you can use that as a money laundering opportunity. So they want digital everything except for these money laundering opportunities. So that's, isn't that convenient? So, and that's for all the listeners, I encourage them, please don't participate in these activities. If you want election integrity and then you go and buy cannabis, even legal cannabis, can't be banked at the federal level, high cash, great opportunities for laundering and skimming, which often goes back to pay groups that are destabilizing
right.
cities, counties, and states. So please don't participate in these activities because this is a total, it's a domestic money laundering operation.
Oh yeah, no. Is that why they're not making cannabis legal federally and only state-wise so that they can keep it at home?
I think it's there is a disconnect and everybody just needs to watch the first episode or two of Tulsa and they'll understand. But, you know, Sylvester Stallone walks in and within 30 seconds, he realizes the golden opportunities here with all the high cash operations.
Right.
And yeah, they love that disconnect between federal and state law because then money laundering opportunity.
Yeah. And the opportunity to, if they want to get somebody, like Schumer said, Six Ways to Sunday or whatever you said, you know, there's a good opportunity. Just go in with the federal law because they don't care anymore and say, well, your state law doesn't matter. Now the federal law matters. Like they're doing in this ridiculous Bragg trial where it's like, well, that would be a federal election crime that already is past its time and didn't really happen, but you can manipulate it with lawfare however you want. So what should people, you just said one good thing, which was people should not be participating in things that are enhancing the ability to funnel money into these groups. And I've covered a lot of them, what you're talking about, like Voter Protection Project, Democracy Alliance, the Obama's Civic Action. It's just Civic Action is ACORN basically on steroids. Mm-hmm. So if you look at all of this, people are looking and this is where I think we really have to put in a lot of effort in the next several months. People are already feeling demoralized, like the election is rigged in 2024 they already stole it and they have a way bigger operation and this and that. And I keep saying to people, well, if you're going to go that route and say, I'm not going to vote, it doesn't matter, then you're voting for Biden. And then on the other side, when I look at their white papers, especially Eisen's Voter Protection Project that's trying to destroy the Electoral College, if you really read that, it seems to me that they don't want any American voice or vote at all. they're flooding it because they don't want the votes of their side either. They don't want any votes. They just want it to be a wash.
Yeah. I mean, before 2020, they were in a panic over election machines until they won. You know, they're always in a panic over voter fraud until they realize they can own it and leverage it. Yeah. So, yeah, they don't care. You know, Eisen is a total psycho sicko. I mean, he's a unrepentant nanny stater who just wants to make sure the globalist elite can do what they want. And 84% of us who are not part of the deep state.
Yeah.
And that's a Rasmussen number we're again, and I've been at the White House and I've actually heard it from both Republicans and Democrats. The American people are too stupid. We need to make decisions for them. And that's scary. That should never be the words coming out of a government official, elected, appointed, careerist, uniformed or contractor. Should never come out of the mouth of any of them. The American people own this government.
Yeah, that's a Hollywood and a newsroom thought as well that I've seen in real time over at ABC and other places where they're like, no, the American people won't understand that. They won't get that. And I think right now is when it's backfiring the most. I feel like they so overplayed their hand during the pandemic and then everything that's happened since now one after, because for the first time, I'm honestly seeing people that I lost along the way. We both have just doing what we do and getting them word out about what's happening to our country. But I'm slowly but surely, I am seeing people that are left of center being saying the same things as people that are right of center. And then the libertarians. And that one thing is that the entire government apparently is not functioning in any way, shape or form on behalf of any of us. I do feel like that's the one positive thing that I am hopeful about is that I feel like by midsummer, like you said before, who's being hurt by the open border the most? Who's being, and then like legal immigrants, the Black community, what they're doing to women under the guise of transgenderism, totally upside down, no women's rights basically now, if it comes to that. So it's just like one after another, all these things that they're always sure, the Jewish vote, all these things that they're always sure that they're going to have, they're blowing up. So I look at it more like, I feel like as we go closer, people are going to more and more realize, okay, wait, it's up to the people to actually realize that the people still have power. And I think that the demoralization campaign is to make us the opposite. Even what they're doing to Trump, I feel like it's to demoralize Trump voters or people that want to believe in the elections to the point that they just say, forget it, just do whatever you want. And that is the danger. And also, I think the hope.
Yeah, that's everybody needs to get out there shoulder to shoulder and do the best they can right where they live and make it happen. I mean, we need to get illegals off the rolls. You know, the Dems are leveraging the motor voter law of the 90s. They're going straight onto the voter rolls, and no state that or county that I'm aware of has a robust process. But that's what we got to do is get active locally. There's some good things that have happened in Georgia. There's some things that have happened in Pennsylvania, activism. We got a total tyranny going on in Arizona, but I think disruptive events, conflict with China, the rise of Robert Kennedy. I mean, I think there's enough disruptive events that, and now, ever since The Rock rescinded his endorsement of Biden, I think that was they playing bottom off in 2020.
Yeah.
And with Dwayne Johnson now changing his tune and others, I think it's very significant. The fix was in on 2020. I don't know if they're going to be able to repeat it, but if we don't get out and vote and get active, it will happen. So get out there.
I agree. Now, tell everyone where they can buy your book and first and second book. This is the current book, but everyone should get both books. So tell people how to follow you and where to find you, please.
Oh, thank you so much, Mel. So both books are available signed on my store. Use Mel K at my store and you get a nice discount. You can get signed copies of the book. I flew out there and signed all the copies.
Oh, awesome.
And then if you want unsigned, just go to Amazon. And then it's Colonel R.E.T. John, Colonel Rhett John, Substack, Getter, and Truth.
Excellent. You're the best. I look forward to talking to you more in the future as things go. Everyone, make sure that you go over there, get the book, follow him, follow me. If you aren't already, make sure that you are watching, because you know what else is happening. They're trying to really go after social media, websites, everything. So anyone that you like or follow, just make sure, because they're unfollowing people to be people, all kinds of shenanigans. So just make sure that you follow everyone, and you make sure that you continue to follow and watch that you are, you know, you got their newsletter, you got checked in, because we're in a battle and it's an information war. And Colonel Mills has been on the front lines of that information war. So make sure you follow him. Thank you so much, sir. We will see you again.
Thank you, Mel. Always an honor to be on the show with you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Thank you for watching the show. You know, I'm always looking for solutions, and there's one thing that I stress all the time. We have three things that really, really count in this fight to save America: our time, our money, and our vote. Well, every time you spend your money at one of the big box stores or one of the multinational corporations, you are giving them money to fund the controlled demolition of America. They do it through foundations and other means to make sure that our country is divided and not strong and not united. So what you need to do is you need to find a better way to invest in America with your dollars. I have found a solution. If you go to the partners page at themelkayshow.com and click on Set Me Free, Please. Yes, go to the partners page at melkayshow.com. Click on Set Me Free, Please. It's time to make sure that your money is going towards saving America. It's going towards freedom and liberty and independence and away from centralization, control, and the multinational corporations that are running the public-private partnership that is destroying our country. So again, go to the partners page at themelkayshow.com, click on Set Me Free, Please, and get started today. Great news, guys. We've been beta testing with my founding members, the Mel Kay Show, live on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. And it is going incredibly well. We have a community that we all connect. We can share information. Questions are asked of me, of other people. We share back and forth. This is really a place to go on Sunday nights. Get ready for the week. Share what's working, what's not working, how we can make things better, how we can align with each other. Wherever you are in the country, there's many things you can do. So we've added locals now. So on locals, you can also join us on Sunday nights, or you can join members.themelkayshowlive.com. The members at melkayshowlive.com is a community for you that continues 24/7, 7 days a week. We put up many different things there, ideas, documentaries that are great. People tell what they're doing in their local community. They can reach out to other people all over the country. It's kind of has a cool Facebook vibe, but it's really about community, fellowship, helping each other, organizing, all of that. You can also just join locals and join us on Sunday nights, where you can ask questions, interact with me. I'm going to have on some of my best guests. It's an incredible platform. It's just getting started. It's totally secure. And please join us Sundays at 7 p.m. locals or members.themelkayshowlive.com. I will see you there. This is so much fun, and I'm so grateful. And now we have a totally secure community where we can all interact while we are fighting this battle for freedom and our future. See you there.